نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We'd like to begin this evening in lecture number 21 of our series of lectures concerning the sharh or explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed al-Ladhi huwa haqqullah ala al-Abid, the book of Tawheed, that Tawheed which is the right, the exclusive right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over His servant, by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi al-Najdi rahimahullah. In this chapter, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has entitled it Bab ما جاء أن بعض هذه الأمة يعبد الأوثان. يعني the text from Quran or Sunnah, the evidence which have come to us, which have been narrated to us concerning the fact that some, بعض هذه الأمة, some of the people of this ummah will worship الأوثان, will worship false deities, false gods, or something, يعني will offer worship to something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in his sharh of Kitab al-Tawheed, mentions that the reason why the author has come with this chapter or this title, it is as a proof against those who claim that a shirk, the offering of worship or considering something as an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, offering worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or offering any of the rights that are exclusively for Him to other than Him, those who claim that this action of a shirk is not possible, that anyone from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fall into it. And they denied that the worship of graves or the worship of the awliya and other such acts which are clearly offering of some type of worship to other than Allah, they denied that this was shirk. And they said that this is not shirk, since in fact it has been authentically reported that this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be protected and preserved from falling into shirk, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانْ أَيَّفْ أَن يَعْبُدَهُ الْمُصَلُّونَ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. Yani that shaitan has given up hope, that he has no hope whatsoever, that he would be worshipped by the musallun, the people who perform prayer in the Arabian Peninsula. Yani shaitan, he gave up hope that he could ever be worshipped, that he could get anyone from amongst the worshippers in the Arabian Peninsula to worship him. And that was because the greatness that he saw of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it was established in the Arabian Peninsula in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the establishment of Tawheed, it was to such an extent that he had given up hope. He, shaitan, la'anatullah alayhi, lost any hope that he could get the people there to worship him. The scholars have answered this argument in a number of ways. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he has answered it by mentioning these evidences. The evidences which show for a fact that the people of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would indeed, some of them would indeed fall into a shirk. The first argument Though, before mentioning the evidences of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, the first argument against them is to explain the hadith that they use to show that it is not a proof for them. And the first of the arguments of the scholars concerning this is that indeed, as shaitan, he has given up hope that he would be worshipped because of the establishment of a tawheed and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Arabian Peninsula in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that reason he had given up hope. But because he doesn't know the future, it wasn't within his knowledge to know whether, what would happen in the future. But only because what he saw of the establishment of Islam, he himself had given up hope. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make him hopeless. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not in fact guarantee that no one in the Arabian Peninsula would worship idols or worship falsehood or obey shaitan. Because the worship of shaitan, it means obedience of him in whatever he calls the people to do. So the first argument against this hadith, as they understood it, is that in fact shaitan gave up hope. But that doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything, will not allow that to happen. The second argument is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he had given up hope, that shaitan had given up hope of the musalloon in the Arabian Peninsula worshipping. And the musalloon are the people who make salat. And the people who make salat in the way that it should be made, then that salat, it protects a person from falling into evil and indecency. And the worst of all evils, it is shirk. Indeed, those who worship Allah, who pray to Allah correctly and properly, yani in accordance with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with sincerity, al-ikhlas, indeed those people would not be of those who shaitan would be able to get to worship him. This is the first point, and the second point is the evidences, five proofs, three from the Quran and two hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which make it clear that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed, according to his wisdom, he had willed that some people indeed from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fall into shirk. Indeed also some of the scholars said concerning this chapter, باب ما جاء أن بعد هذه الأمة يَعْبُدُوا الْأَوْثَانِ, that some of those of this ummah would worship al-awthan. Some of the scholars said that al-ummah has two possible meanings. The ummah of al-da'wah, that is those whom the people who the Prophet ﷺ was sent to call out to. And that is all the people of the earth. It is all the people of the earth, including the Christians and Jews and pagans and others. And the other meaning of al-ummah is a ummatul istijaba, the ummah meaning those people who actually answered the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani ummatul da'wah includes all of the people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to call out to, and that is all the people of the earth. And the ummat al ijaba means those who answered his call, who accepted Islam and believed in Allah and followed his way. If here the meaning is ummatul da'wah, then indeed many of the people remained on falsehood, and they remained on paganism, and they continued to worship idols and to worship other than Allah. However, if we mean ummatul ijaba, those who answered the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is indeed what al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab intended here in this title. He meant ummatul ijaba, he meant the Muslims, those who accepted the invitation, the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and believed in Allah and followed his way. So, the first evidence that he mentions concerning this reality, that some of the ummah, yani the ummah of ijaba, of those who answered the call of Islam, the call to tawheed and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that some of them indeed would fall into the worship of al-awthan, the worship of false gods. And al-awthan, it is the plural of al-wathan, al-wathan. And al-wathan, it means anything that is worshipped instead of Allah. Anything that is worshipped instead of Allah. And al-watan is more general, as we said, than as-sanam. As-sanam means those things that are worshipped other than Allah that have a specific shape or form, like the shape of a human being or an animal or a bird or something other than that. Whereas al-watan, it includes everything, whether it has a shape or form. It might be a tree or a stone or a rock or a wall or a grave or anything that the people offer worship to. They offer that which is the exclusive right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or attribute to it some quality or characteristic that is the exclusive characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first evidence that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 51. ألم ترى إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يؤمنون بالجبت والطاغوت ويقولون للذين كفروا هؤلاء أهدى من الذين آمنوا سبيلا. Do you not look to or see, have you not seen or considered those who have been given a portion of the book? الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَسِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. And that could include the Yahud and the Nasara, those who revelations have come to. However, in this ayat, it was addressed specifically to al-Yahud. It was addressed to the Yahud. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالْتَاغُوتِ. And they believed in al-Jibt and al-Taghut. And al-Jibt, also, its general meaning is anything that is in contradiction or in conflict with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Anything that the person may engage in that causes harm to them. However, the most common explanation of al-Jibt by the scholars of tafsir is al-Sihr, magic, and al-Kahana, soothsaying. And as well, it means, it may also refer to the Asnam or the Sanam, idols. Whatever, yani, is in contradiction or in conflict with the Sharia, that causes harm to the human being, and specifically, yani, and more generally, it has been defined as a sihr, magic. At-Taghut, it means whatever is outside of the bounds of what Allah has legislated. Whoever goes beyond the bounds, outside of what Allah has legislated, outside of the restrictions, and offering, whether it is worship or obedience or following to anyone or anything outside of the bounds of what has been legislated in the Sharia. And whoever offers any type of worship to other than Allah, it is outside of the Sharia. It is transgressing the bounds. This is Taghut. Whoever follows someone outside of the bounds of what is allowed for following, yani following the imams or the scholars, in accordance with what they have offered to us or called us to or ordered us with or prohibited from, in accordance with the Sharia, in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. But whoever goes outside of that, then that is included in Taghut. And likewise, whoever obeys the rulers or the leaders or the people in authority outside of what is allowed, you know, of obedience to them in that which is in accordance with what Allah has ordered, it is obligatory and it is worship and it is praiseworthy, because obeying the leaders in that which Allah has ordered or prohibited, then that is obedience to Allah. But obeying them outside of what Allah has prohibited, in that which they have prohibited while Allah has allowed it, or that which they have allowed which Allah has prohibited, then this is also under at-Taghut. And the chief of at-Taghut, or the most principal, the most outstanding of the tawaghit, it is ash-shaytan, iblis. And as well, there are other tawaghit from amongst them, as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says in another place, that the tawaghit are many. From amongst the leading tawaghit, it is those who are worshipped other than Allah while they are pleased with it, while they are pleased with being worshipped, or those who call to the worship of themselves, or those who rule by other than what Allah has allowed, and so on. All of these things are also included under transgressing the bounds, or the taghut or tawaghit. However, as Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, that a taghut, it includes whatever is worshipped besides Allah, whoever is followed outside of the bounds of what is allowed in the Sharia, and whoever is obeyed outside of the bounds of what is allowed in the Sharia, so that it is not only that which is worship, but also those who are obeyed or those who are followed in a way that is in contradiction to what Allah has revealed. The Shaykh says in explanation of this first verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed the people to, or directed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consider, the Prophet especially, and the Muslims in general, to consider some of the actions, some of the deviant and evil actions of the Yahud, the Jews. And that is that they believed, or they accepted the worship of Al-Awthan, the worship of false deities. In this ayat, they have believed in At-Taghut and they have believed in Al-Jibt. In both of these, it is mentioned that some from amongst the people of the book, and here refers specifically to the Yahud or the Jews, that they have believed in these things, and all of this is falsehood and it is kufr. And likewise, they have given preference to the ibadah of the awthan over the ibadah of the believers of their Lord. Yani, they gave preference, or they considered as better those who worshipped falsehood. They considered them better than those who worshipped Allah alone, meaning that they praised the pagan disbelievers of Mecca and considered them or at least they said to them that they were better than the believers. Even though the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, yani they are those who they were referring to as the believers. In this verse where he says, يَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, they said to the pagans of Mecca, those who disbelieve, هَؤُلَاءِ أَحْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they said these are better than those who believe, yani in their way or in their yani practice, in their religion. They said that they were better. And this is in light of or in consideration of the fact that the Jews, they knew in the books, from the books, the previous books, the revelations that were given to them, they knew that the deen of Islam, that it was better than the worship of false gods, al-awthan. And they knew that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in fact on the truth. And they knew that what he came with, the revelation that he brought and the religion that he brought, that it was al-haq, the truth. However, they were blinded by the jealousy and envy of the Muslims. And from that they were prevented from speaking the truth or saying that which was correct. And therefore they falsely flattered the kuffar, meaning the pagans of Mecca. They flattered them, even though they knew that they were on deviation, that they were on falsehood, worshipping other than Allah. However, the Shaykh closes by saying that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refuses anything except that his religion, that his light, meaning the deen of Islam, that it would be perfected. He refuses that anything other than that will happen, even though the disbelievers hate it. From this ayat, the Shaykh mentions three benefits or fawaid. The first of them is the confirmation of the deviation of the people of the book. That the people of the book, the Ahl Kitab, the Christians and Jews, indeed deviated. Although he is mentioning specifically the Jews, but the Christians are also included. Number two, that false flattery in matters of deen and hiding the truth or covering up the truth, it is from the sifat of the Yahud. This is from the ways of the Jews. So Muslims should beware of flattering someone falsely in matters of the deen. But we should be straightforward and we should stand for the truth and not worry about people's feelings. Number three, the obligation or the presence, wujud al-shirk, the presence of a shirk amongst the Ahl Kitab, the people of the book. That indeed, the people of the book, the Christians and Jews, have fallen into the worship of other than Allah. The relationship of this ayah to the chapter heading and the topic of at-tawheed is that this ayah indicates the presence of shirk amongst the people of the book, and it has been confirmed in a hadith that will come later. It has been confirmed that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they would do the actions of the people of the book, and from amongst the actions that they will follow them in is a shirk. And that will come in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu that comes after these ayahs. Then the Shaykh mentions a note that the reason for the revelation of this ayah that we have just mentioned came in a hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said that when Ka'b ibn Ashraf came to Mecca, he said to the Quraysh, and the pagans of Quraysh, for they said, the Quraysh said, do you not see this one who is an orphan and who is cut off, his lineage is cut off and he doesn't have any male children? He said, he is claiming that he is better than us. And we are the people who take care of the pilgrims who come for Hajj and who are the custodians, the people who are responsible for taking care of the sacred places, the Haram, the sacred Al-Haram Makki. Then this Yahudi, he said to them, while he is a liar indeed, he said, Antum Khairun. That the pagans, you people, you are better than the Muslims. Then Allah revealed concerning them, concerning the pagans of Mecca, إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْصَرُ, that indeed, the one who despises you, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the one who will be cut off from the mercy of Allah and will be cut off from the reward of Allah in the next life. And in reference to Ka'b and the Jews, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his saying, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, and do you not, or have you not looked at those who are given a portion of the book, believing in al-jib and al-tagut, until the end of the ayah. The second verse that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions, it is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 60, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بشر من ذلك مثوبة عند الله. يعني he is ordering the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to say, قل, saying to the Ahl Kitab, do you want me or shall I not inform you of that which is more evil than that? يعني more evil than what, than the way you think of us, that you think of us as being something mean or less. He said, shall I inform you of that which is more evil than what you think in terms of the reward that will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the reward of those who act in this way. And here he described three or four of the characteristics of the Yahud. Those Yahud who profess by their tongue that the pagans were better than the believers. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals some of their evil characteristics. In this ayat he says, مَنْ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ. Yani what is more evil, or what will be the reward that will be more evil than this in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, is those who Allah has cursed. مَنْ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمْ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِرَ وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتِ. Yani those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed, meaning that He has removed them far from His mercy, they will be far removed from the mercy of Allah. وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and Allah is, His anger is upon them, an anger after which there is no pleasure. Allah will never be pleased with them. And He has made from amongst them monkeys and swine. He has transformed them physically, as is reported in authentic hadith, that some of the Yahud, they were transformed into monkeys and pigs. وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتِ, and they also worship the tagut. Yani they worship the things which are other than Allah. Or they obeyed someone or something outside of that which is allowed by Allah. Or they followed some of the people, some of their leaders, with outside of the bounds of what is allowed. They worship the tagut, the shaitan, the false deities. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ شَرٌ مَكَانًا, that these are more evil in their place, and they're more evil than others. Their rank or their status in front of Allah is more evil than all other people. وَأَضَلُّ عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ, and they're also more astray. And he's far removed, distant from the straight path of Sirat al-Mustaqim, سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. The Shaykh says concerning this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to these kuffar from the people of the book, shall I not inform you of those who are worse in reference to or in regard to the reward or the recompense that they will get on Yawm al-Qiyamah, worse than what you think about us. They are you, meaning the Jews, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed far from His mercy, and He is angry with them, and He has transformed some of them physically into monkeys and swine. And they have worshipped the asnam, the idols, or false gods, or the tagut. For this, for these evil, filthy characteristics, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they are the most evil in rank, and they are the most far from that which is right or correct or the straight way. The first ayat and the second ayat, both of them talk about the Ahl Kitab and their characteristics, and the important characteristic here that is relevant to the chapter heading, it is the worship of false gods, the worship of At-Tagut, or the worship of Al-Awthan. The Shaykh says here five benefits, Al-Fawaid. The first of them is the permissibility, Jawaz, La'an Al-Kuffar, Jawaz, the permissibility of cursing the disbelievers, Ala Sabil Al-Umum, yani in general. Number two, the confirmation of the characteristic of Al-Ghadab, Sifat Al-Ghadab, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is confirmed that of His characteristics is that He may become angry. Number three, the confirmation of the transformation of some of the people of the book into monkeys and swine. Number four, the presence or the existence of a shirk amongst the Ahl Kitab, the people of the book, Christians and Jews. And number five, that it is possible that sometimes one's ma'asi or sins will be the reason for a punishment in this world, just as it is a reason for punishment in the next life. Yani sins not only bring a punishment in the next life, but they may also bring a punishment in this world. And from amongst the punishment in this world was the transformation of the Jews who Allah was angry with, some of them being transformed into apes and swine. The relationship of this ayat to the chapter heading, yani the chapter heading meaning the heading that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab headed this chapter with, the texts which have come concerning the fact that some people of this ummah who worship false gods, who worship idols, and otherwise. He said that this ayat also indicates the existence or the presence of shirk in the people of the book, and their worship of a tawagit or the false gods. And it has been confirmed in the hadith that is coming that indeed the people of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do just as the people of the book did, and from amongst their actions that they would do, it is the falling into a shirk. Here the Shaykh mentions a note, and that is that the transformation of some of the Jews into monkeys, and that is, he said that the meaning of this here is that that the monkeys resemble, in their outward appearance, they resemble human beings, when in fact they are not from amongst the human beings. They are different from the human beings, though they may resemble them in many ways, and likewise the Jews in their tricks and their deceptiveness to escape from the law of Allah, to engage in that which is haram, many of their actions outwardly appear to resemble the truth or that which is right, while in reality it is false. In reality, their actions are false. Yani the inner reality of it is that it is falsehood, though on the outer surface it may resemble truth. The third evidence that the Shaykh mentions is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 21. The saying of Allah, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعَثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. And indeed we have pointed them out, yani made known the Ashab al-Kahf, the boys who were in the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed them out to some people so that they would know them. لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ, so that they would know that the promise of Allah, it is true. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا, and that the hour of judgment, there is no doubt about it. Yani meaning that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused these people, these boys to die and resurrect them, bring them back to life again after 300 and some odd years, and then the people to discover them and find them, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable and able, and indeed He will do so. That, yani He will cause the human beings, everyone who comes in this world, to die, and then He will bring them back to life, and there will be an hour of judgment, everyone will be called to account. Many mentions concerning the Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave. He says, is yatanaza'una bainahum amrahum. Yani the people who discovered them were arguing, disputing between themselves, what shall they do with them? فَقَالُوا أُبْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَإِبْنَوْا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانًا, that some of them said we should build over them a building, a structure. رَبَّهُمْ أَعْلَمْ بِهِمْ, and their Lord, He knows best about them. Yani that we should just build a structure over them and leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who knows best about their affair. قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَى أَمْرِهِمْ, but those who overcame in the matter, those who had the power, the authority, who had the final word in the matter, they said, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا, that we will build over them a masjid, yani a place of worship. We'll build a place so that the people will know where they are, and people will come to them, and people will seek blessings from that place. And indeed, building the masjid over the graves, it was from the ways of the Ahl Kitab, and for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith which we mentioned last week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry with them, and the curse of Allah be upon those who take the graves of their prophets as places of worship. In the general explanation of this ayah, the Shaykh says that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that He has made some of the people to know, and in that time He made them to know and to come across the Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave. And the hikmah or the wisdom in that, it was so that He would produce a proof of the correctness and the authenticity and the truthfulness of the resurrection after death, that indeed people will be resurrected after life, just as these were put to death and resurrected to life. Then He informed them, and then He informed, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed about the argument or dispute that took place between the people at that time when they discovered them, and that some of them had the opinion of building over them a structure, but they believed that they should leave the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or others, yani those who actually had the final word and the authority in the matter, they had the opinion of building a place of worship, building a masjid or masjids over them. From this hadith He mentions three benefits. The first of them is the confirmation, the reality and the truth of this story, the story of the people of the cave. And the Quran confirms the reality that this indeed did take place. Number two, the confirmation of the resurrection after death, that this is also a reality that will indeed take place. And number three, the taking of masjids or places of worship, or building of masjids or places of worship over graves, that this is from the ways of the previous nations, and the Christians and Jews and the other people who deviated. Then the Shaykh says the relationship of this ayah to the chapter heading and the topic, the general topic of At-Tawheed, that this ayah indicates, points out to us that the people of the book had built masjids, they had built masjids over the graves, and that the Prophet ﷺ cursed them for that reason, because of what their action of doing so, what it leads to of the worship of those who are in the graves. Yani that the building of places of worship over the graves leads to the worship of those who are in the graves. And it has been confirmed in the following hadith that this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will do the actions of the people of the book, and they will also build places of worship or masjids over the graves. And they will also worship those who are buried in those graves in the end. And indeed, the building of places of worship of the graves will lead to the worship of those who are buried in the grave. The fourth evidence of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is the hadith that is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahumullah, on the authority of Abu Sa'id, that is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, qal, latattabi'unna sanana من كان قبلكم, and in some of the narrations, سننا من كان قبلكم, and both of them are correct. سنن is singular, it means طريق or way, and سنن is the plural of سنة, and it means also طرق or ways. He said, لتتبعن سننا سننا من كان قبلكم, that indeed definitely you will follow the way or the ways of those who came before you. And here the lam in la, in the beginning of the hadith, latattabi'unna, the lam here, it is because of that which has been deleted from the statement by what is understood. It is that which follows an oath that the Prophet ﷺ means by this statement, wallahi latattabi'unna sanana man kana qablakum, wallahi, I swear by Allah, you will indeed follow the way or the ways of those who came before you. Hazwa al-kudhati بِالْكُذَّةِ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُهْرَ صَبٍ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. He said, you will follow them, يعني, just as حَذْوَ الْكُذَّةِ بِالْكُذَّةِ is like the equality or the similarity or the resemblance or the exact equality between the feathers of an arrow, between the feathers of one arrow. Not as it has been translated in the short of this book. The meaning of this statement is that the feathers of one arrow, that they have to be equal in order for the arrow to go accurately. Now, don't come. Walaikum salam. Naam? Naam, ماذا بي؟ طيب. And he said, wallahi, indeed, you will follow the way or the ways of those who came before you, particularly the Christians and Jews. He said, حَذْوَ الْكُذَّةِ بِالْكُذَّةِ, yani just as the feathers of an arrow are equal, there being no difference between them. If they are not equal, the arrow will not go straight, it will not be accurate. So likewise, just as they are equal and there is no difference between them, likewise you will follow them without there being any difference between you and them. You will follow them exactly, precisely. Hatta, even to the extent that if they entered the hole of a lizard, which is impossible that they could enter the hole of a lizard, but this is to show that he said, even if they entered the hole of a lizard, you would enter it and follow them. So what about that which is possible? If that which is impossible you would follow them in, then indeed that which is possible, you will follow them in it. That means you will follow them in everything that they do. قالوا يا رسول الله, they said, O Messenger of Allah, اليهود والنصارى, do you mean the Jews and the Christians? قال فمن, and he said, then who? And if not them, then who? Who do I mean? Indeed you will follow them, meaning you will follow the Christians and the Jews. The general explanation of this hadith, the Shaykh says that here Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu informs us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that this ummah, it will imitate and follow the previous nations in their habits or customs, aadatihim, fi aadatihim, wa siyasatihim, wa diyanatihim, that we will follow them in their customs, as well as in their politics, as well as in their religious affairs. We will follow them in everything, not only in religion, but in everything. وَأَنَّهَا And also that indeed you will follow them, or you will imitate them, or you will be similar to them in every way, just as the feather or the feathers of an arrow are similar to the other feathers of an arrow. One feather is similar to another feather, equal to it. Likewise, in the same way, you will imitate them and follow them exactly in the same way. Then he confirmed, he emphasized this point of the similarity and the following of his ummah, or some of the people of his ummah, to the people of the previous nations. He said that if they entered into the hole of a lizard, while it is tight and it is dark, you would have tried. Meaning his ummah, they would have also tried to enter it. Then when the companions of the Prophet ﷺ questioned him or asked him, what did he mean by those who were before you? Is it the Jews and the Christians? And he answered, indeed, yes. Who other than them? From this hadith, the Shaykh mentions four points or fawaid. The first fa'ida, it is the clarification of the mu'jiza, the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. That indeed what he predicted, it came, it was realized just as he informed it would happen. It happened like that, and we see it today, and the many people of the Muslims following, the Christians and Jews, in everything. Number two, the clarification of al-ashya al-ma'anawiyya, bil-amthila al-hissiyya, the clarification of things which are conceptual, by examples of things which are sensual, or you can, hissiyah means that which you can experience by your senses. The clarification of things which might be conceptual, which have some meaning, but cannot be experienced by the senses, by examples which are sensual, it is from the ways of teaching in Islam. To make examples of those things that the people understand and can relate to and identify with, to clarify those things which might be conceptual and difficult to understand. Number three, the prohibition of imitation or resembling the people of the book. Number four, that asking the people of knowledge about that which is difficult to understand or difficult to see, or whose wisdom or reasoning is difficult to understand, that it is expected that the people should ask the Ahlu al-Ilm, the people of knowledge, about those things whose ruling or wisdom is not easily detectable. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter and the subject of Tawheed is that this hadith indicates that this ummah will practice or will do the actions or perform the actions of the people of the book, and from amongst their actions is the worship of Al-Awthan. This hadith makes it crystal clear that indeed the people of this ummah will follow the previous nations, specifically the Christians and Jews, as well as others, and from amongst their actions that they will follow them exactly in, without leaving out anything, is also in their matters of worship, and from amongst it is a shirk, that they have fallen into shirk, and the Muslim ummah will indeed, some of them will fall into shirk. Well, Allah will protect by His mercy and His favor those who He wills. The last evidence that the Imam rahimahullah mentions is a hadith that is reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih from ثوبان رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said إن الله زوى لي الأرض فرأيت مشارقها ومغاربها. He said that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has gathered together for me the earth. He has brought it together so that I was able to see the east of it and the west of it. Whatever is in the east and the west, He made me to see it. وَأَنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْقُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا And that my ummah its kingdom or sovereignty would reach what all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered and collected together for me to see, to reach that far. وَأُعْطِيتُ الْكَنْزَيْنِ الْأَحْمَرَ وَالْأَبْيَضَ, and I have been given the two treasures, الْأَحْمَرَ, the red, meaning gold, that was the treasures of Qaisar, the ruler of Ar-Rum, and الْأَبْيَضَ, the white, meaning the silver, which was the treasures of Kisra, the ruler of Persia. That these treasures have been given to me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised it for His followers. وَإِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي لِأُمَّتِي, and I have also asked Allah, asked my Lord for my ummah. He has supplicated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ummah. أَلَّا يُحْلِكَهَا بِسَنَةٍ بِعَامَةٍ, that he would not destroy them by drought or famine, that is general, that yani affects everyone, that they would not be destroyed by any devastating, overwhelming general drought or famine. وَأَلَّا يُصَلِّتَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَى أَنفُسِهِمْ فَيَفْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَتَهُمْ, and also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give authority or sovereignty or control over them to a people, an enemy outside of themselves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give authority or control of a people outside of themselves to overcome them such that they would destroy them completely and annihilate them totally, or most of them, if not all of them. He asks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give that authority over his ummah to any enemy of theirs, that they would destroy them completely. وَإِنَّ رَبِّي قَالَ أو إن ربي قال يا محمد إذا قضيت قضاء فإنه لا يرد. He said that verily my Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Muhammad, that whenever or if I decide a matter, if I decree a decree, then it will not be withdrawn, it will not be pushed back, it will not be stopped, it has to happen. وإني أعطيتك, and indeed I have given to you, لأمتك, for your ummah, أَلَّا أُحْلِكَهُمْ بِسَنَةٍ بِعَامَةٍ وَأَلَّا أُصَلِّتَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَى أَنفُسِهِمْ فَيَفْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَتَهُمْ, and indeed I have given to you for your ummah these two, yani the answer to these two supplications, that they will not be destroyed by a overwhelming drought or famine, nor would they be given to under the control of an enemy outside of themselves who would destroy most of them, or the majority of them. And he said, وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ مَنْ بِأَقْطَارِهَا, and that is, this would not happen even if all of the people from all of their sides, from all of the sides came together against them, still they would not be able to destroy the whole of the Muslim ummah by Allah's mercy. حَتَّى يَكُونَ بَعْدُهُمْ يُحْلِكَ بَعْدًا وَيَصْبِي بَعْدَهُمْ بَعْدًا, until yani they would be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being overwhelmed by the enemies or being destroyed totally. حَتَّى يَكُونَ بَعْدَهُمْ أَوْ بَعْدُهُمْ يُحْلِكَ بَعْدُهُمْ, until some of them would destroy others, yani until the Muslims would fight amongst themselves, some of them would destroy others from their ummah, and some of them would take captives of other members of their ummah. Then at that time, when the Muslims fought against themselves, when they differed and disputed and broke into factions and parties and fought against one another and split up against themselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would allow some of the enemies to overcome them. This is the end of the hadith as it was narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. And then the Shaykh says, وَرَوَاهُ الْبُرْقَانِ فِي صَحِيحِهِ وَزَادَ, and one of the Imams of the people of Sunnah, Al-Burqani, who collected many of the hadith in his book, many of the authentic hadith, he said that he has collected this hadith of Imam Muslim, but he has added to it, yani he has in his narration, yani that which he has reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a further narration, more than what Imam Muslim has narrated. And he said in this narration, وَإِنَّمَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُضِلِّينَ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed, that which, the thing, the one thing which I fear upon my ummah, it is the al-imma al-mudillin, those leaders who would lead the people astray. And that includes the religious leaders, the political leaders, as well as those so-called righteous worshippers. All of them having some kind of influence over the people, and if they are evil, they would mislead the people. He said, this is what I fear, this is the one thing that I fear upon my ummah. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ السَّيْفِ لَمْ يُرْفَعْ إِلَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And if the sword falls upon them, that is, if fighting starts between them, then it will never be lifted until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And some of the scholars said that this took place with the killing of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. وَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى يَلْحَقَ حَيٌّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ. And the hour of judgment would not come until حَيٌّ, يعني حَيٌّ means a قَبِيلَة or a tribe from amongst my ummah, that they would join with the mushrikeen. And some of the scholars said that they would join them, perhaps by living with them, by going to them and living with them and being pleased to live with them instead of living with the Muslims, as we see today. And they will become mixed with them, and they will become similar to them, and they will leave their deen and join the deen of the mushrikeen. And some said that it means that they would just take on their ways, that they would be joined to them and taking on their ways. In any case, whether it means going to them or whether it means being like them, he said that the hour of judgment would not come until a tribe, a qabila or a hay from my ummah, they would join with the mushrikeen, they would become part of them. وَحَتَّى تَعْبُدَ فِئَامٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي الْأَوْثَانِ. And this is the part of the hadith that is important in reference to the chapter under discussion. And the hour of judgment will not come until fiyam, yani a large number of groups, jama'at kathira, a large number of groups from amongst my ummah, that they would actually worship al-awthan, false gods, besides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي كَذَّابُونَ 30. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted that there will be from amongst my ummah 30, at least, not less than 30, كَذَّابُونَ, major great liars, yani those who would claim prophethood. كُلُّهُمْ يَزْعَمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ. Every one of them would claim that he is a prophet. وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. While I am indeed the seal of the prophets, yani the seal after which there is no other prophet and there is no prophethood. And to make it clear what is the meaning of Khatamun Nabiyeen, in case people try to interpret it as the Ahmadiyya did, that he is the seal, he is the one who puts the seal on the prophets who will come after him, he said, وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. I am the seal of the prophets and there is no prophet after me. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ. And so that the Muslims would not be in despair after hearing all of these terrible events that would take place, that the Muslims would join the pagans and that Muslims would worship idols and people would claim prophethood, so that indeed the tawheed, the belief in Allah alone, is violated. And even the belief in the prophet, the seal of the finality of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is also violated. The shahadatain is violated by these people who worship other than Allah and call to the prophethood of other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that the Muslims wouldn't lose hope, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ مَنْصُورَةً لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِي أَمْرُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. He said, indeed, there would be a group, a ta'ifa, from amongst my ummah, that they will remain on al-haq, the truth. مَنْصُورَةً, they will be supported and given the victory. They will be given success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that success is primarily, or that victory, or that support, that nasr, it is first and foremost in the proofs and evidences of that which came from the Quran and Sunnah, that what they are upon, it is the haq. They would remain a group from amongst this ummah who would retain those proofs and those evidences that al-Islam, it is the haq until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Even if physically on the battlefield, from time to time the Muslims may have been defeated in the battle, but indeed there will be a ta'ifa al-Mansura, who would be given the victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all the nations of the earth in terms of the proofs and the evidences that they have been given of the truth and the rightness of al-Islam. And no one would harm them, those who oppose them, مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ, nor those who يعني those who abandoned them. من خذلهم those who abandoned them. Those who refused to support them, they abandoned them. ولا من خالفهم, nor those who opposed them, they would not harm them at all until the Amr Allah, the command of Allah comes. And most of the scholars said the command of Allah means His Amr al-Qawni, the universal order, يعني for the end of this world. And that would be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send rihun tayyiba, a good wind that would take the souls of all of those who retain any bit of iman in their hearts. He would take their souls and remove them from the earth, so that the hour of judgment would only come upon the worst, the most evil of the people left in the earth, not upon the believers. Some of the narrations of Kitab al-Tawheed in reporting this hadith from Burqani don't mention the words وَمَنْ وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ. It just mentions لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ. However, in this, the sharh that we are using, this expression is mentioned, and also in the text of Kitab al-Tawheed from the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, it also contains this expression, Allahu A'lam. Both of these expressions also, and both of them are indeed correct, yani that those who abandon them, who refuse to support them, as well as those who oppose them, that they wouldn't be able to harm them in any way. Here, the Shaykh says, in the general meaning of this hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us in this hadith that Allah has brought together or collected for him the whole, the earth, yani, so that he saw the east and the west of it. The east and the west of it. And the east and the west is the areas to which the deen of Islam has spread and the sovereignty of the Muslims have been established in the earth, not in the north and the south. And that the sovereignty of my ummah, that it would reach whatever I have seen. And I also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my ummah would not be destroyed by a general drought, and that they would not be overcome by an enemy outside of themselves, so that most of the Muslims would be destroyed by them. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has answered him in this supplication, that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except when the Muslims dispute amongst themselves, and some of them carry weapons against others, that is they fight against one another, at that time, some of them will kill others of them and take captives one another. Then the Prophet ﷺ made clear the thing, the most dangerous thing that he feared for his ummah, and that is the leaders who would be astray and who would lead others astray. That is, those who would be followed. And they would rule over the people without knowledge. They would themselves go astray, and they would also lead others astray. And also he mentions that if the fighting between the Muslims started in this ummah, yani fighting against one another unjustly, then it would continue, it would never stop until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And also he mentioned that a part of his ummah, that they would worship the awthan, false gods, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that there would appear amongst his ummah 30 people who would claim prophethood. They would be false. There would be a false claim. However, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that he is the last of the prophets, or the final prophet, and that there is no prophet after him. And so that the people would not lose hope, yani that they wouldn't lose hope in themselves, yani the Muslims, he gave the good news that there would be a jama'ah, a group from amongst his ummah that would remain on the truth, and they would be supported or given the victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one would be able to harm them, those who abandoned them or those who opposed them, until the command of Allah comes. Then the Shaykh mentions 10 points to derive from this hadith. The first of them is clarification of a mu'ajiza, a miracle for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that all that he predicted, it came to be. Number two, the permissibility of taking the spoils of war for the Muslims, in that the Prophet ﷺ said that he would be given the two treasures, gold and silver, of the two great kingdoms, Rome and Persia. Number three, the concern of the Prophet ﷺ for his ummah, yani in his supplicating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't allow them to be destroyed overall, or that they be overcome by an enemy outside of themselves. Number four, the confirmation of the sifa of al-qawl for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speech for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ رَبِّي قَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. Number five, that the reason for the destruction of this ummah, it will be the disputing and fighting amongst themselves. That the disputing and fighting amongst themselves is the cause for the destruction of this ummah. And every group of Muslims who allows disputing and fighting amongst themselves, they also become a part of this destruction of the Muslim ummah. Number six, the clarification of the danger of the misguiding al-imma al-mudilleen, the misguiding leaders, and warning against them. Number seven, the presence or the existence of shirk in this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that some of them would actually worship false gods. Number eight, or many of them. Number eight, the rejection of everyone who claims prophethood after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number nine, that he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, is the seal of the Prophet, there's no Prophet after him. Number ten, that the truth will continue in this ummah until the command of Allah. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter heading in Tawheed is that this hadith indicates, or not only indicates, it is a clear text of the fact that some of the people of this ummah will worship al-awthan, false gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masail are about 14, and even though we can't go into the details of what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has mentioned in these masail, but at least I'll try to summarize some of what he said, skipping over what doesn't need any mention. The first of them is the tafsir of the ayat of Surah An-Nisa, yani the verse, chapter 4, 51, did you not look at those who are given a portion of the book, yani meaning the people of the book, the Christians and Jews, that believed in Ajibti wa Taghut, who believed in magic or sorcery and other such things, and those who believed in worshipping something besides Allah, the false god, shaitan or otherwise. Number two, the tafsir of Ayat al-Ma'idah, that is the verse in chapter 5, verse 60, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out the characteristics of the Jews, yani that they were those whom Allah's curse was upon and His wrath was upon, and those He transformed into monkeys and apes, and who worshipped at Taghut. And this also would be yani an example that would be followed by the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, the tafsir of Ayat al-Kahf, that is the verse in chapter 18, verse 21, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people of the cave, and in that ayat He said that those who had the final word in the matter, that they said we will build a place of worship over their graves. And this also was what would be followed by the people of this ummah. Number four, and He said, وَهِيَ أَهَمُّهَا, and this issue is the most important of them, is the meaning of al-Iman bi-Jibti wa Taghut. What is the meaning of having faith in Iman in al-Jibti wa Taghut? Is it belief in the heart, or is it being in agreement with the people who practice these things, who fall into these things? Is it believing in it, or is it just acting in accordance with it while hating it and knowing that it is false? And the Shaykh said that whoever believes in it, for sure this is included in the meaning here. Whoever believes in Jibti wa Taghut, the ayat, definitely whoever has that belief in their heart, they are included in it. However, those who are in agreement with it, who act in accordance with it, while hating it and while knowing that it is false, he said there's a difference here, yani there's a differentiation between the people of this category. Those who believe that what they are doing related to participating in magic or sorcery or the worship of something other than Allah, whether it's graves or otherwise, those who believe that this is correct, indeed it is kufr. While those who don't believe that it is correct, then even though they don't believe it's correct, by falling into it, they are engaging in something that is very, very dangerous, and it is feared that it would lead them to also fall into kufr. Number five, they're saying that the disbelievers, whom they knew were kafirs, they knew their kufr, yani the disbelievers, meaning the pagans of Mecca, the Jews, saying that those disbelievers who they knew were kafirs, saying that they were more rightly guided than the believers, meaning the Muslims, he said that indeed this saying, such a statement, it is kufr itself. It is kufr. The one who says such a thing is a kafir, because he has given preference to kufr over iman. Number six, so that even those Jews who were believers in the previous prophets, they went out of Islam by such a statement. Number six, and this is what was intended by the title of this chapter, that it is a necessity that there be some from amongst this ummah who would fall into the worship of idols, he said that, as it has been confirmed in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said that the title heading that he is referring to is the chapter What Has Come Concerning the Fact That Some of This Ummah Will Worship Idols, and the hadith of Abu Sa'id, he is referring to the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that you would indeed definitely follow the ways of those who came before you exactly, even if they went into the hole of a lizard, you would go into it. And they said, do you mean the Jews and Christians? He said, who else? The Shaykh says here that this statement, it is, yani this is a clarification of their warning against following the ways of the previous nation, the Christians and Jews, and falling into that which they have fallen into. Then he says, number 7, تَصْرِيحُهُ بِوُقُوِيهَا, yani that the author has made it clear, and in a clear statement that indeed this would happen, that it would take place, meaning the worship of idols, that the worship of idols would indeed take place, and we are warned against such. Number 8, العجب العجاب, yani the most amazing of amazing things is that there has appeared those who claimed prophethood, like Al-Mukhtar, while saying the words of a shahadatain, claiming prophethood while saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and while saying clearly that he is from this ummah, and saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the truth, and saying that the Quran is the truth, and the Quran contains the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the Prophet, and in spite of all of this, he was believed. And in spite of all of this, somebody claimed prophethood and people believed him, while there is a clear contradiction between his claim to prophethood and his claim to the shahadatain. And this Mukhtar, he came at the end of the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a large number of people followed him. And then he mentions yani some details about Al-Mukhtar, not necessary to mention here. The important point is that the amazing thing is that some people came, Al-Mukhtar and others, claiming to be Muslims, claiming to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claiming to believe in the Quran, while they also claimed prophethood for themselves. Number 9, the good news that the truth will remain, the good news that the truth will not be removed in totality, as it was removed totally in the past, the previous messages that came, but this time the truth that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, it would not be removed in totality, but there would remain a group from amongst this ummah who would stand upon the truth, and they would be supported and given victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 10, the great signs, or the great sign yani that came in this hadith that there would remain a group who would remain on the truth. He said that even though that they are few, though they were few, still those who abandoned them and those who opposed them would not be able to cause any harm to them. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 249, that how many times would a small group overcome a greater group by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah is with the patient. Number 11, that this is a shart or a condition until Yawmul Qiyamah, yani that a group would remain standing on the truth and they would be victorious by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 12, what is contained Al-Ayat Al-Azimah, the many great signs that are contained in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported from Thawban radiallahu anhu. And there are many signs contained in it, and amongst them are those things that point to the truthfulness or the authenticity of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst them is that he informed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the east and the west, and he explained what that means, and it happened just as he said, as opposed to the north and the south, which Islam didn't spread out that much to it. And also from amongst those things, and this is only something that could be known, yani it's ilm al-ghayb, that's only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever he informs of it. But from amongst the other great signs is his informing us that he will be given the two great treasures, the gold and silver of Rome and Persia. And from amongst them is his informing of the answering of his supplications for his ummah, two of them, that is that they would not be destroyed by overwhelming drought, nor would they be overcome by an enemy outside of themselves and destroyed completely until they start to fighting amongst themselves, but that he was prohibited the third of them. And that's in another hadith, the hadith of Amir ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he had supplicated for three things, and one of them was that his ummah would not fall into fighting amongst themselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't grant him that. Also from amongst the great signs in this hadith is that he informed us that once the fighting started amongst his ummah, that it would not be lifted until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And indeed this has happened, as we have seen, beginning with the death of Uthman, or the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And also his informing us that the destruction, that it would happen, that some of the Muslims would fight against one another and kill one another and take captive one another. And this has also happened. And from amongst them is the fear of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the misleading leaders, al-imma al-mubillin, that is, all of those imams, those people who are followed, meaning due to their knowledge, or due to their authority, or due to their worship. Yani, meaning the ulama, or the rulers, or those who are known for worship, and therefore the people, thinking that they are great worshippers, also listen to them and follow them and take advice from them. Then he said also, from amongst those things, what he informed us is that there will remain a Taifa al-Mansura, the victorious group that would be supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these things that he informed us about, indeed, they took place as he informed us about it. While the Shaykh says in the end of his statement, yani the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he's quoting him here, he said, مَا أَنَّ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهَا أَبْعَدْ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الْعُقُولِ. Every one of these things is the furthest thing from what one would imagine, what one would think if they use their intellect or their mind. They would never imagine that any of these things would take place, and every one of them took place as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prophesied it. Also, the 13th point is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam limited his fear on his ummah. He limited it to al-imma al-mudillin, yani that those who he feared were only the misleading leaders, whether political leaders or the scholars, or those who were known for worship, their worship, so that they were followed and influenced the people and misled them. If they were evil and if they were good, then they would lead them alike. These are those who the Prophet ﷺ feared. And finally, number 14, he says, التنبيه على معنى عبادة الأوثان, يعني bringing to our attention the real meaning of the worship of الأوثان. In the title of the chapter, he said that indeed some of his ummah, that they will worship الأوثان. And he said, the meaning of this worship, it is not limited to bowing and prostrating to them, but it also includes following those who mislead, those who make lawful what Allah has made haram, or those who make haram what Allah has made lawful, and then the people follow them in that. Yani, following, obeying, as well as offering any type of worship, all of this is what he means by the worship of Al-Awthan, and all of this took place amongst his ummah. This is the end of the Masail and the end of yani what we have. Maybe we can take about 2 or 3 minutes if there are any questions or comments or corrections, or if anybody.
وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يدعون